the importance of introducing English poetry into our programs. And we also initially started a program in Sha'ban dedicated to that. Alhamdulillah, things are catching on, and this is one of the results that we see. Our language will change, our style will change, but our mazhab will always be the same. Salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا واللانة الدائمة الباقية لعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم والذي أوحينا إليك من الكتاب هو الحق مصدقا لما يديه إن الله بعباده لخبير بصير ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا صلوات عليك وعلى With tabrikat and greetings to all of you on this very happy occasion in our calendar, the birth anniversary of the brother of the Prophet al-Mustafa, the husband of Sayyidati Nisa' al-Alamin, the father of Sayyidina Shabab Ahl Jannah. Just look at that relationship. One is Al-Mustafa, the other is Sayyidina Nisa' al-Alameen. The sons are Sayyidina Shabab Ahl Jannah. For us, he is Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Al-Imam Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. The week has not been an easy week for me health-wise, but inshallah I'm back, although not fully recovered, but keeping in mind it is the wiladat of the first imam, inshallah we'll try to do whatever is, you know, best that we can do. And I would like to begin with this very question about Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the question about who is Ali is actually a very simple question. What I want to answer tonight is the question of what is Ali? There is a difference between who is Ali and what is Ali. I'll begin with the ayat that I recited from Surah Al-Fatir, Surah number 35, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ayat number 30 and 31, begins by saying that He is the one who revealed to you, O Muhammad, the book, which is actually the book based on Haqq. And this is a book which confirms whatever was revealed before it in Torah or Injil or Dawood or other suhuf. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the following ayah, ثُمَّ أَوْرَسْنَا الْكِتَابِ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا And then we made heirs to the book some chosen ones from our servants. So Allah says, after you, O Muhammad, we have chosen certain individuals, and they will be the waris of the Quran. They will be the heirs to the book. There is a long discussion about it, especially the words which have come after that first sentence of the second ayat that I recited. But the answer is very simple. There have been debates with the Muslims during the days of the fourth Imam, the days of the eighth Imam on this ayat, and they have conclusively proven that this doesn't apply to the Ummah collectively, it applies to Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the waris of the Quran. He is the heir of the Quran. To further explain that, let me quote to you a hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad al-Nisa'i and Muhibbuddin al-Tabari. These are all Sunni authors and scholars of high status. They have a narration from somebody by the name of Abu Sa'id al-Khudari, a very prominent companion of the Prophet, respected by us also. And he says that one day we were sitting waiting for the Prophet in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabi. The house of the Prophet and the Masjid were all, you know, close to one another. Then he says, we saw the Prophet coming out of his house, holding his slippers or his sandals. And one of the sandals, you know, the strap was broken. And so he first looks at Ali, goes to him and gives him, and he says, you know, repair this for me. And then he sat down, and he says to them, "Inna minkum man yuqatilu ala ta'awil al-Qur'an kama qataltu ala tanzili." He says, among you in this audience today, he says, there is someone among you who will fight for the true ta'awil and interpretation of the Qur'an the way I fought for the revelation of the Qur'an. So the Prophet is saying, when I was receiving the Qur'an from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the tanzeel was happening, mushrikeen were opposing me, and when I was fighting for the tanzeel of the Qur'an. Then he says, a time will come where Qur'an will be there, and there will be no problem of mushrikeen anymore, but there will be Muslims who will challenge the interpretation of the Qur'an. And so now he says, the way I fought for the tanzeel of the Qur'an, there is somebody among you who will stand up and fight for the ta'wil, true interpretation of the Qur'an. And according to these narrations from the Sunni scholars, Abu Bakr stood up and he said, am I the one, Ya Rasulullah? And Rasulullah said, no. Then Umar ibn Khattab stood up. He says, Ya Rasulullah, am I the one you're referring to? And the Prophet says, no. I am referring to somebody who is repairing my sandal. Pointing towards Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you can have the physical Quran, but if you really want the true interpretation of the Quran, you need an imam who is the waris of the Quran. And therefore, there is no one among the companions of the Prophet has ever claimed what Ali claimed about the Quran. Listen to what he said first, and then we can do nada. There is no one who has claimed about the Quran among the companions of the Prophet the way Ali has claimed. And what does he say? He says, ask me before you lose me. You know, many places he says, saluni, saluni, qablan tafqiduni. Ask me before you lose me. And then he says, why? He says, for by the one who split the grain and created the soul of the human being, if you ask me as to which Quran, which verse of the Quran was revealed at the night time or the daytime, whether it was revealed in Mecca or in Medina, or it was revealed when the Prophet was traveling or he was stationed in Medina, or whether the ayat was abrogated or the one which abrogated the other ayat, whether the ayat is muhkam and clear or an ayat which is mutashabih and of a symbolic nature, and whether you need its interpretation or the context in which the revelation came, I shall indeed inform you about it. Salawat. But remember, having said all this, just to say that Ali is a good teacher and scholar of Quran is not sufficient. There are many, many scholars of Quran in the world. The good ones, the bad ones. And so don't say Ali is a good scholar of the Quran. He is something greater than that. And that is what I would try to explain tonight when I say, what is Ali? Especially in the context of the Quran itself. And for this, I would like to go to a story narrated by Hakim Nishapuri. He actually talks about a hadith which has been quoted by many, many Sunni scholars, but only the last part, what the Prophet said, Ali. But the preamble of that is only narrated by this fellow known as Hakim Nishapuri. Hakim Nishapuri was a scholar who came later on. And he was expert of Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And he realized, you know, he studied the methodology of both of these scholars, Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. And he says that, I see there are many, many ahadith that these two scholars have ignored. Although when I look at the methodology, it was necessary for them to include those ahadith. So he wrote something known as Al-Mustadrak al-Sahihain as a complement to Sahihain. Sahihain means Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, the ahadith which have been missing from those two books. And there he has a narration. And this is a narration which is considered by him to be sahih, according to these standards of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, and as well as other scholars of hadith who have come later on. They verify that this is a sahih hadith. And what is the hadith? He says that the slave of Abu Zar Ghifari, by the name of Abu Thabit, he narrates that he was with Ali ibn Abi Talib on the day of Jamal in Basra. He says, when we gathered in the battlefield, both, you know, sides facing one another, he said, when I looked at the other side, I saw Aisha, Ummul Mu'mineen. And when I looked at her, confusion and doubt crept into my heart. The way it had happened to many people. You know, for us, it's very easy, coming centuries after the event, to study them, what happened before, what happened after, what happened within. So we know the context. And it's easy for us to make the judgment. But put yourself in the place of Abu Thabit. On one hand, he says it is the Prophet's son-in-law. On the other side, he says the Prophet's wife. On the other side, he saw the cousin of the Prophet, Abdullah ibn Abbas. On the other side, he saw another cousin of the Prophet, Zubayr. And so there was a lot of confusion. He was, you know, people were not that clear when they saw these personalities on both sides. But Abu Thabit says that by the time of Zuhr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resolved the doubt for me. And I was there steadfast on the side of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. And he said, I fought for him till the end of the battle. But he says, before that, when I have that moments of doubt, I was very much shaken. He says, after the battle, I went back to Medina. And one of the first things I did after going to Medina, I went to visit Ummul Mu'mineen, Umm Salama, who was considered to be the wisest of the wives among that group. And he goes there. He was a slave of Abu Dharr. So he goes there and asks for permission, and he says, by Allah, I have not come here to ask for help or food and drink. And just to introduce himself, he says, I am the slave of Abu Dharr, and I'm here to just, you know, ask you something. And she welcomed him, marhaba, come in. And then he described his story, what happened to him on the day of Jamal, that moment of doubt. He just wanted to get some more, you know, assurance there. And so Umm Salama asked him, so where were you when the hearts were wavering from this side to that side? Umm Salama also knew that there were many people not sure we should be this way or that way. And he says, well, Allah helped me. By the time of Zuhr, my doubt was resolved. I was with Ali bin Abi Talib. And this is where she says, well done, ahsant. Umm Salama says to Abu Thabit, ahsant. Your decision was the right decision because I have heard the Prophet say. And what did the Prophet say? Aliyun ma'al Qur'an wal Qur'anu ma'aliyin. Ali is with the Qur'an and the Qur'an is with Ali. Lan yaftariqa hatta yarida Ali al-hawz. And Ali and Qur'an will not separate from one another until both of them come and meet me on the day of judgment by the fountain known as Kawthar. And this is something very interesting for us, and this is beyond any doubt. No Sunni scholar of hadith, you know, doubts the authenticity of these words. But here we have a preamble there. When did Umm Salama utter these words? It's important to see that the hadith says Ali is with the Quran, and the Quran is with Ali. Ma'a, to be with. Ma'iyat, togetherness or closeness of something. And the question is that, you know, if this hadith of the Prophet had stopped halfway, if the Prophet had just said, Aliyun ma'al Quran, Ali is with the Quran, it was not really a big deal. There are many, many Muslims who are with the Quran, truly with the Quran. But the hadith doesn't stop there. It says, wal Qur'anu ma'a Aliyin. The Quran is with Ali. What does it mean when it says that, you know, Ali is with the Quran, ma'a al-Quran? Is it in the sense that, you know, Quran is there in the front and Ali is following it? No. Because the next sentence says, wal Qur'anu ma'a Aliyin. This hadith of the Prophet is not saying that Quran is the leader and Ali is the follower, which would apply to all of us. And if we really are true to that, that is our salvation. But this is not Ali. It doesn't say that Quran is the leader and Ali is the follower, because then you'll have to reverse. Wal Qur'anu ma'a Aliyin. Ali is in the front and the Quran is following. No, here actually the issue of ma'iyat means that Ali and Quran have been totally merged into one another. There is no physical closeness or togetherness here. There are many, many people who carry the Quran in the locket with themselves all the time. There are many hafiz of Quran who have memorized the Quran in their mind, in their heart. Does it mean that they are with the Quran as Quran is with them? No. When the Prophet says, Aliyun ma'al Quran wal Quran ma'a Aliyin, this is basically there is a symbiosis between the Quran and Ali. Ali is Quran and Quran is Ali. Salawat, Brother Iqbal. Look at the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fussilat, ayat number 42, he says, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. Quran is a protected book. No falsehood will come to it from the front or the back or any direction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Nahl, ayat number 82 says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ تِبِيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Quran is tibyan, clarification for everything. عَلِيٌّ مَعَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ مَعَ عَلِيٍّ. Basically means the way Quran has been protected from falsehood and batil, the person of Ali ibn Abi Talib has been protected from every falsehood and batil. Quran is ma'soom, and Ali is also ma'soom and protected. Quran is tibyanan li kulli shay. Quran is clarification for everything. And Ali is the source of tibyan for everything. In that ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tibyanan li kulli shay wa hudan wa rahmatan wa bushra lil muslimin. That Quran is not only a tibyan, it is a guidance and mercy and good news for the Muslims. Ali ibn Abi Talib similarly is Huda. He is the guidance and he is the rahmah and he is the bushra and the good news for the mu'mineen. Salawat upon the Ikbar. You can have a very, you know, beautiful printed Qurans, decorated verses on the walls at your home in the masajid. You're going to have this, you know, carpets with the writings of Quran in a beautiful way. You're going to have very beautiful recitation of the Quran in series. All these things are one side. But to live with Quran is something else. Ali was total embodiment of the Quran. He was the living Quran. Ali was the breathing Quran. Ali was with the Quran, and Quran was always with Ali. Salawat upon the Quran. One more hadith on this issue. I don't want to prolong it. I'm just taking it easy for my own sake here. There is another hadith narrated by 24 companions of the Prophet on the same theme, slightly different from the one we saw before. And this is narrated by Shia and Sunni sources alike, where the Prophet says, Aliyun ma'al haqq wal haqq ma'a aliyin. Ali is with the truth, and the truth is with Ali. Now, when we talk about this hadith, sometimes we get the question where the Prophet said the same thing about Ammar bin Yasir. Ammar is with Haq, and Haq is with Ammar. Remember, Ammar is a disciple of Ali. He is a student of Ali, who gave his life for the love of Ali in the Battle of Siffin. There is a difference in what the Prophet said about Ammar. In case of Ammar, he just said, you know, Ammar is ma'al haqq, wal haqq ma' Ammar. Ammar is with haqq, and haqq is with, the truth is with Ammar. When it comes to Ali ibn Abi Talib, Rasulullah did something else there. After saying, Aliyun ma'al haqq, wal haqq ma' Aliyin, the Prophet prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma adril haq ma'aliyin haysu ma'dar. Not only that Ali is with haq and haq is with Ali, the Prophet prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, turn haq in whatever direction that Ali is turning. It's not that you have haq there as a standard. And then may you measure Ali. Is he on haq or batil? No. That is when you will measure Ammar, Salman, Miqdad, and others. When it comes to Ali, the issue is not, you know, measuring him with the haq. Rather, Rasulullah says, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah turn haq in whatever direction that Ali turns. And this is where we see that in spite of all these things, you know, we are really surprised. You have individuals like Imam Fakhruddin Razi, a very famous mufassir of the Quran. He has a very extensive tafsir in about 20 volumes of, you know, bulky size. Right in the first volume, when he starts the tafsir of Surah Fatiha, he brings up this issue of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Should we recite it in namaz loudly or silently? You know, among Sunni Muslims, there is a dispute. Some of them say it's not even to be recited. Some say you recite it silently. Some say you recite it, you know, loudly. In the Shia madhab, there is the emphasis that in every namaz, wherever you recite a surah, it is recommended even in Zuhr and Asr to recite the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim loudly, even though you might you have to recite the remaining part of the surah silently. We emphasize in this point. Among Sunni Muslims, there is a confusion about it. Should you do it or should you not do it? And therefore, you'll see sometimes, you know, you will hear their namaz, Allahu Akbar, and then there is silence for a few seconds, and then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Probably the Imam recited Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, but he decided to do it silently. This is where our sixth Imam says, you know, what has happened to the Muslims? They will recite everything loud except this beautiful ayat which talks about the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a whole story behind it, where this bid'ah started from. But that is for some other time. Imam Fakhruddin Razi, in that tafsir, dedicates 3 pages on this issue, emphasizing that I believe that we must recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim loudly whenever we do the surah in the namaz. And what is his proof? He says, I don't care about what is the opinion of the Sahaba. He says, because when I study the life of Ali, I see that Ali used to insist to recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim loudly. And he says, for me, this is a sufficient proof. And so he goes against the majority there, and he says, I believe that the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim should be recited loudly because that was the insistence of Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he repeats that at the end, 2-3 times. Then my basis for this opinion is the tradition of Ali. And at the end he says, whoever follows the guidance of Ali is rightly guided. Why? He says, because the Prophet said, Aliyun ma'al haqq, wal haqq ma'aliyin, Allahumma addar al haqq ma'aliyin haysu ma'dar. Salawat pranay ikbara. But Imam Fakhruddin Razi, you praised Ali in this way. When it comes to the issue of Khilafat, you still say he's number 4. And they have their own understanding. They say, well, he was the best. But who told you to be the Khalifa, you have to be the best? This is how they justify themselves, you know, in their mind. That yes, Ali was the best, but for Khilafat, we have a lower standard. Whereas we believe that when Rasulullah says, Aliun ma'al haqq wal haqq ma'aliyin, then we don't need to go anywhere. We don't have to go and find out where is Haqq and then find, is Ali with the Haqq or not? Actually, for us, it is easier to find where is Ali, and you will find Haqq is there with Ali. Salawat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, keep us always on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, and always among the true followers of the Shia of Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Inshallah, we'll just take a break here to test your memory about the history. Very simple three questions about Ali bin Abi Talib. Salawat Pranadi Kwaro. Yeah, just skip this there. Huh? Oh, okay. Just want to see how many people are participating in this. I saw my name there. Somebody is taking my identity, I think. Okay. In which battle did Imam Ali alayhi salam kill Amr ibn Abd Wud? Khandaq or Khaybar or Badr or Ahzab? The first and fourth are right answers. So it was kind of a trick situation there. Khandaq and Ahzab are one and the same. Okay. In which event did the Prophet introduce Ali as his brother for the first time? Ghadir, Mubahala, Da'wat Dhul Ashira, or Hijrat? Okay, 111 right. That's good. Okay, salawat padna. Was Nahj al-Balagha written by Amir al-Mu'mineen? It is compiled by whom? Sayyid Razi, not Sheikh Razi. Salawat padna ek baar. Amir al-Mu'mineen ki is viladat ke jashn mein bas aakhir mein hum ek روایت آپ کے سامنے پیش کرنا چاہیں گے عبداللہ بن مسعود سے. عبداللہ بن مسعود بہت ہی مشہور صحابی تھے رسول اللہ کے, اور شیعوں میں بھی ان کا احترام ہے بہت. علی سے بہت قریب تھے اور صاحب علم و فضل تھے. ایک روایت ہم لوگوں کے یہاں ملتی ہے کہ جہاں ایک بار رسول اسلام کی خدمت میں آئے اور انہوں نے کہا کہ اے رسول اسلام, ارن الحق لانظر الیہ, مجھے حق جو ہے اس طرح سے دکھائیں کہ ہم اسے دیکھ سکیں. اٹس اے ویری ڈیفیکلٹ کوسچن کہ ہمیں جو ہے حق دیکھنا ہے. تو اس وقت رسول اللہ نے کہا کہ دیکھو یہ چھوٹا کمرہ ہے سائڈ میں, وہاں جا کے دیکھو. عبداللہ بن مسعود کہتے ہیں ہم گئے اندر تو دیکھا علی جو ہے نماز کی حالت میں ہیں, اور جب بھی رکوع اور سجدہ کر رہے ہیں تو دعا کر رہے ہیں, اللہم بحق محمد عبدک, کہ خداوندہ تیرے بندے محمد کا واسطہ, اغفر للخاطئین من شیعتی, محمد کا واسطہ خداوندہ میرے شیعوں میں جو گناہگار ہیں ان کو معاف فرما. عبداللہ بن مسعود نکلے اس کمرے سے جہاں رسول پہلے تھے, وہاں گئے تو دیکھا رسول بھی نماز کی حالت میں ہیں, اور اب دیکھا کہ رسول بھی رکوع اور سجدے میں اسی ٹائپ کی دعا پڑھ رہے ہیں تھوڑا چینج کے ساتھ, اللہم بحق علی عبدک, محمد دعا کر رہے ہیں خداوندہ تیرے بندے علی کا واسطہ, اغفر للخاطئین من امتی, میری امت میں جو گناہگار ہیں ان کو معاف فرما. عبداللہ بن مسعود کا کوشچن کیا تھا, دیکھا کیا, تھوڑی دیر کے لیے ذرا پریشان ہو گئے. رسول نے اپنی نماز بہت جلدی ختم کی اور پھر کہا یبن مسعود اکفر بعد ایمان, تمہارا ایمان تو بہت مضبوط ہے, یہ کیا ہے, ذرا کنفیوز دیکھ رہے ہیں ہم تم کو. تو کہتا ہے حاشا وکلا یا رسول اللہ, رسول اللہ کبھی بھی ہمیں شک نہیں ہوا ہے, ولیکن رأیت علی یسأل اللہ بک ورأیتک تسأل اللہ بعلی, لیکن ہمیں تعجب اس بات کی کا ہے کہ ہم نے علی کو دیکھا دعا کر رہے ہیں آپ کے نام سے توسل سے, اور آپ دعا کر رہے ہیں خدا سے علی کے توسل سے. فلا اعلم ايكما افضل عند الله عز وجل, العصا ام کنفیوز, ہمیں معلوم نہیں ہے کہ آپ دونوں میں سے کون افضل ہے اللہ کی نظر میں. اس وقت رسول اللہ کہتے ہیں اجلس یا ابن مسعود, بیٹھو. اور پھر سمجھایا کہ دیکھو اعلم ان اللہ خلقنی علیا, خلقنی وعلیا من نور قدرته قبل ان يخلق الخلق بألف عامین, کہ خداوند عالم نے مجھے اور علی کو اپنی قدرت کے نور سے پیدا کیا ہے, کائنات کو پیدا کرنے سے 2000 سال پہلے. میرا نور اور علی کا نور, ازلا تسبیح ولا تقدیس, کوئی نہیں تھا جو خدا کی تسبیح کرے اس زمانے میں یا تقدیس کرے. یا ابن مسعود, اے ابن مسعود, جب قیامت کے دن آئے گا تو خداوند عالم مجھے اور علی سے کہے گا کہ آپ جائیے جنت میں, جائیے اور جن کو آپ دونوں چاہتے ہیں اپنے ساتھ لے کے جائیے، اور جن کو آپ دونوں چاہتے ہیں کہ جہنم میں جائے تو ان کو جہنم میں بھیج دیں۔ پھر قرآن کی ایک آیت پڑھی، وَعَلْقِيَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ، جس کی تعبیر و تعویل جو ہے رسول اللہ نے کی ہے کہ یہاں کفار سے مراد در حقیقت وہ ہے جو میری نبوت کو جھٹلائے، اور عنید سے مراد وہ شخص ہے کہ جو علی کی ولایت کا منکر ہو۔ تو اس حدیث سے اندازہ ہوتا ہے کہ جہاں تک محمد و علی کی بات ہے، مرتبے میں فرق ہے، محمد نبی اور رسول ہیں، علی نہیں ہیں۔ علی جو ہیں امام ہیں، وصی ہیں، خلیفہ ہیں، تو مرتبہ اپنے جگہ پہ ہے، حفظ مراتب اپنے جگہ پہ ہے، لیکن جہاں تک فضیلت کی بات ہے، عظمت کی بات ہے، دونوں در حقیقت ایک ہی نور سے پیدا کیے گئے ہیں۔ صلوات پڑھیں ایک بار آپ۔ جب رسول اسلام دعا کر سکتے ہیں امت کے لیے، بحق علی عبدک، علی کا واسطہ دے کر، تو ہمیں یہ پورا حق ہوتا ہے کہ ہم علی اور آل علی کا واسطہ دے کے خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ میں دعا کریں۔ آج جو جمعہ کے بعد بھی ہم نے اعلان کیا تھا کہ یہاں کے ڈیولپمنٹ پرمٹ کی جو بات ہو رہی ہے، یہ ہمارا ایک کامن ایشو ہے، کمیونٹی کا معاملہ ہے۔ یہ متبرک رات ہے، کل کا دن دیو ولادت کا دن ہے، آپ اپنے نماز کے دعاؤں میں یہی جملہ استعمال کریں کہ خداوندہ تیرے بندے علی کا واسطہ ہم دیتے ہیں کہ اس قوم کی حفاظت فرما، اور ہمارے اس پروجیکٹ اور اس ٹائپ کے جتنے پروجیکٹس ہمارے کمیونٹی کے اس ایریا میں ہیں، اس شہر میں ہیں، خداوندہ اس میں برکت اور کامیابی عنایت فرما۔ خداوندہ ہم لوگوں کو ہمیشہ ان لوگوں میں سے قرار دے جو صحیح معنوں میں محمد آل محمد کے پیروکار اور شیعہ ہیں۔ تمام شیعوں کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ، تکفیری افواج کی صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔